Scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the congregation in Thessalonica, in northern Greece, the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 21. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you needed to cross a deep canyon and were standing on the edge of a cliff, and there happened to be a kind of like a rope bridge that went across, made out of ropes and slats and boards at your feet, as you walked out onto that rope bridge, you would be very careful with each board. You probably, holding on to the top, would put your lead foot forward and start to lean a little bit of your weight and start to put some pressure on that board to make sure that it was going to hold. And you would test each board and make sure that it was going to support your weight. Because if one of them is weak, it could be disastrous for you. St. Paul uses that concept in our text today when he says, test all things, hold fast what is good. That means prove things. Test them and make sure that they will be good for you. He uses an interesting Greek word here, dokimazo. It means to examine something so that you know it's going to be good. Learn as much as you can about it so that you know it's going to help you. And what he means is this for us as Christians. As we walk through this life, as we go through this life, God would have us examine all the things that happen to us in our lives and the things that we're going to get involved in and things we're going to do, and make sure to test and approve them, prove to see if they will hold up to what's going to be beneficial for our faith. To take them and process them in our minds and hearts through the Word of God. Is this something that God would want for me? Is this something that's going to benefit me? Process them through the filter of what your Savior would think and what His Word would say, especially in the light of the fact that there is a day of judgment coming, and that may come faster than we expect. So, when we test things in our lives, we are to ask ourselves the question, is this going to help me stay with my Savior? Is this going to help me be prepared and ready for the day God calls me from this life? And we hope that's not for decades, but it could be tomorrow. And the consequences of not paying attention to that, Paul says, can be eternally disastrous for us. Now notice Paul says that we should do this not just in some things in our lives or big things in our lives. He says, in all things, test and approve them in this way. That means who you date, what you're going to do with your time, what you put into your body, what you decide to read, the people that you allow to have an influence over you, the things that you look at with your eyes, how you allow yourself to be entertained, how you handle your money. If my Lord Jesus Christ, who died to pay for my entrance into heaven, if he was sitting with me here right now, is this something he'd want me to be involved in? Is this something he'd want me to be doing? Is this good for my spiritual life? Or does it possibly contain some danger that could really harm me? Notice, Paul says in our text, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, not just partially. Not just in certain portions of your life. Satan loves to come to me as a Christian and convince me, you know, as long as you're doing some things right with what God would want, don't worry about these other things. As long as there are certain things you can hold up in your life and say, Lord, look what I'm doing. Look how I'm trying to follow your will. Look at how I'm obeying your word. Think of the offerings that I give to the church. Think about how I talk to people about my faith. Look at this, look at that in my life that's all good and right. As long as I've got some of those things, the devil likes to tempt me to thinking that, well, then there are certain other places where maybe I'm a little weaker that I don't need to be as worried about. because I can always point to the other things that I do so well. And Paul is trying to show the danger of that type of thinking. But we sometimes think to ourselves, well, if I just admit, well, that's my weakness, that's my little weakness, my evil that I don't mind being involved in. But boy, I've got a lot of other stuff that's really great over here. Paul says that is very dangerous thinking. Our Lord Jesus once condemned the Pharisees with these words. This is an interesting statement. He says, you strain out a gnat, but swallow camels. We can become very protective of certain sins that we have and kind of defensive about them. About 1,000 years ago, when Christianity came to Scandinavia, they claimed that there were some Vikings who had been known for raping and pillaging and stealing from people and so on. But some of the Vikings, when they went to be converted to Christianity, went out into the water to be baptized. And as they went down into the water, some of them would pull their swords out of their sheath and lift their hand with their sword above the water just a little bit so that everything else got dunked under, but their hand was holding the sword. And it was kind of a way of saying to God, you can take everything about me and my whole life except this. I want to hold on to this. So, what sword am I tempted to hold out of the water of my baptism? What sword am I tempted to say to God, you can have everything else, but you're not getting this one? Paul says that is the place where we are vulnerable, where we are in danger. Paying attention to how we live our lives as Christians and trying to follow God's will, of course, will never earn us heaven. We could never do it well enough. And we don't have to do it for that reason, because God has just given us heaven free because of the work of Christ. We just have it as a free present from Him. So trying to live a nice Christian life is not going to gain heaven for us. However, not paying attention to how we live our lives as Christians could potentially cause us to lose that wonderful gift of heaven that God has given us. Notice that Paul says in our text, may the God of peace sanctify you completely. The God of peace, that's a great statement for the Almighty God. The angels, the night that Jesus was born, the angels came and sang to the shepherds, and they announced to them, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Christ was coming to bring peace between sinful people like us who don't deserve heaven and a holy God who could judge us someday. But because of that little baby being born in Bethlehem, God was now sending a sacrifice, one who would have to die to make peace between us and God. And by faith in Him, we can be sure that we have that peace with God. So Paul refers to this God of peace. He doesn't hold up before us a God of fear and terror and wrath, which He could easily have done. But He puts up in front of us this God of peace, who's forgiving, who's merciful, and who's caring for us. Paul could try to threaten us into being good. You better be good or else. But instead, he uses the grace of God and the peace that God brings to love us into doing what is right. God, when he calls upon us to live our lives in a way that's in keeping with His will, He doesn't try to threaten us into that. He tries to love us into that. Think what I've done for you. Think what I have prepared for you. Think of the peace that there is between you and me. When I was in eighth grade, my teacher and principal at my Lutheran school and also my basketball coach was a very influential man in my life. And he gave me, when I graduated, a block of wood. And it has the first verse of our text on it today from 1 Thessalonians 5. Prove all things, test all things, hold fast that which is good. And on the bottom of this little block, it says, made from the giant redwood tree, oldest living thing in the world. don't know if that's true. I guess it is. The oldest living thing in the world is a giant redwood tree. Now, that nice little gift that I got about 40 years ago is already getting nicks, and there's chunks falling out of it already. It's interesting to think that even the oldest and longest living things that we have in this life and in this world, they still decay and they still rot and they still fade away. And all of those things that can tempt us in this life and in this world, away from God and the things of God, they're all going to fade away and they're all going to rot and they're all going to end up somewhere in a graveyard. But our Savior, who loves us, is eternal. The one who's coming back to take us to our eternal home. Paul says, our Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He who calls you is faithful. He will never, never lie to you. And whatever he has told you and given you in his word is something you can rely upon because it is completely proven. And anyone who trusts in that word of Christ and in his promises has never, ever, ever been let down. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this gift of faith in Christ as our Savior and for the wonderful hope of heaven that we look forward to. There are many things in this world and in this life that want to tempt us away from being prepared for that day you take us to our eternal home. We pray that you would strengthen us in our faith and in our love for you and help us to always test and approve those things which are beneficial for us. We pray it all in Jesus' saving name. Amen.